Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, before ascending, Jesus said that we, his people, are to be his witnesses. As he said in the 24th chapter of Luke, that we are to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. We are to bear witness before the world about him and what he has done. And in this morning's Old Testament reading from the book of Ruth, our Lord teaches us some important principles to help guide us in how to be his witnesses. The events recorded in the book of Ruth took place around 1100 BC. And at that time, there was a famine in Israel. And so because of the famine, an Israelite man named Elimelech, with his wife Naomi and their two sons, moved eastward, leaving Israel and settling in the land of Moab. The following verses from Ruth describe for us what that family then experienced there in Moab. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman, Naomi, was left without her two sons and her husband. So for Naomi, the hardship of famine in Israel had been replaced by the even greater hardship of losing first her husband and then both of her sons in Moab. We're told, in fact, that Naomi felt like she had lost everything. After this, after seemingly losing everything, Naomi heard that the famine in Israel had come to an end, that God had sent his people food, and so she decided to return home to Israel. Her two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, walked with Naomi as she set out for Israel. But after they'd walked together for a little ways, Naomi urged them both to stay there in Moab. Both Orpah and Ruth said they would continue on with her, but Naomi encouraged them again to remain in their homeland of Moab. And at that, Orpah wept, kissed Naomi goodbye, and went back to her relatives in Moab. Ruth, however, remained with Naomi. Once more, Naomi urged Ruth to stay in Moab, where Naomi believed that Ruth would have better prospects than she would in Israel. Naomi said to her, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after her." And Ruth then responded with what have come to be some of the best known and most loved words in Scripture. As Ruth said to Naomi, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." Those words have long been appreciated for their expression of selfless dedication and daughterly love. But there's also more that we can learn from those words of Ruth. In fact, even Naomi would have learned something important in those words. When Naomi had urged Ruth to stay behind in Moab, she had said that it would be best for Ruth to go back to her people and her gods, just like Orpah had. Because Ruth was from Moab and would have grown up worshiping Moabite gods, Naomi simply assumed that Ruth was still attached in her heart to to those gods. But in Ruth's reply to Naomi, we learn that there was now a different God enthroned in her heart. Not the idols of the Moabites, but the true God who had created the heavens and the earth, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the same God Naomi worshipped, the same God we are worshiping here today. And Ruth made it clear to Naomi that she would be dedicated to that God all her days. As she said, "Your people shall be my people and your God my God," and said that it would be that way to the day she died. In considering this part of Ruth's life, where we see that she had been brought to faith in the true and living God, there are a couple things that we can learn from this that can be of help to us as we consider how to be the Lord's witnesses in the world today. First, consider for a moment how it is that Ruth came to know and believe in the Lord. There would have been very few Israelites in Moab. In fact, it's very possible that the only believers Ruth had known by this time in her life were the family that she had married into, Naomi's family. And so it would have been through that family that she heard about the Lord and was brought to faith in the Lord. Did Ruth's husband personally witness to her? Did Ruth learn about the Lord by listening in as her husband and her in-laws prayed and sang psalms in their home? One way or another, God worked through that family to bring his word to Ruth, and through the power of that word, to bring Ruth to faith. And that's a reminder to us that God can use all of us to be his witnesses. That it isn't only specially trained teachers and evangelists that God uses to spread his message. That God can work through all of us to bring his saving message to people just as he did in the case of Ruth, as he brought his word to her through her husband and his family. All of us, as the Lord gives us opportunities, can be witnesses for the Lord. I know people who have been brought to faith through their friends telling them about Jesus. And I'm thankful that those friends did not just sit by, assuming that somebody else would do it. I'm thankful that they cared enough to tell a friend about Jesus and about the salvation that is found in him and only in him. And that's also how most new members end up in Christian churches today. Surveys consistently find that the number one reason a person visits a church is simply that a member of that church, someone they already knew, spoke with them and invited them to come. God can work through all of us, as we see in the life of Ruth, where God reached out through Mahlon and his family. And there's also another lesson that we can learn from Ruth's experience. As we've seen, Naomi had not even been aware that Ruth had been brought to faith. Maybe she'd seen Ruth participating in family prayers and devotions, but assumed that she was just going through the motions. But for whatever reason, for Naomi, it had not sunk in that Ruth now shared her faith in the Lord. And so that raises the question, why was Naomi seemingly blind to Ruth's faith? While the Bible doesn't specifically say why, we may see at least a partial explanation in the words that Naomi spoke to Ruth when she encouraged her to remain in Moab, saying that she was free now to go back to her people and her gods. Ruth had been living as part of an Israelite family for 10 years by this time. But Ruth was a Moabite, and Moabites were known for worshiping other gods. And so Naomi might have simply figured, once a Moabite, always a Moabite. But if that is what Naomi was thinking, then they could not have been more mistaken. As in Ruth, we see that what we have been in the past does not determine what we will be in the future. In Ruth, we see that nobody is beyond the reach of God's grace. In Ruth, we see not only that God can work through all of us, but also that he can work for all of us and in all of us. That God works in surprising ways, not only in whom he uses to spread God's word, but also in whom he brings that word to. Just as it would be wrong for us to assume that God can't use us to sow the seed of his word, it would also be wrong for us to assume that some particular person's heart cannot be fertile ground for that word. That's an important lesson for all of us to take to heart. And with this being LWML Sunday, I think it would be appropriate to point out at this point that this is certainly something that the LWML has taken to heart and does take to heart in their work. I know that many of you support the Lutheran Women's Missionary League mission work through your mite offerings, and I'd like to mention just a few of the projects that those offerings are funding, mission projects that you are helping to get done. Those mites are being used to share God's word around the world by doing things like training Bible translators in Tanzania and Ethiopia, and providing Christian counseling and Bible studies for women arrested for prostitution in Kenya and Cameroon to help them find a new beginning and a new life in Jesus Christ. And here in the mission fields of the U.S., your mites are being used to do things like develop Christian preschool programs for children with special needs, especially those on the autism spectrum, and to provide transportation to children living in poverty on an Indian reservation so that they can have rides to Sunday school and vacation Bible school so that they can learn there about their Savior. Those are just a few examples. As through these and many other activities, the God who did great things for Ruth in Moab continues working through his people to do great things for people in all places today. So we learn from Ruth that God can use all of us as his witnesses and that he wants that witness brought to all people. And I'd also like to mention one final lesson that we can learn from Ruth today. And in fact, this is the most important one. The book of Ruth does tell us about a number of events in the lives of Naomi and Ruth. And there's a great deal that we can learn from their experiences. But ultimately, the book of Ruth was not written to direct our hearts and our attention to Ruth herself. The book of Ruth was written to direct our hearts and our minds to somebody else. After Ruth returned to Israel with Naomi, God provided for them by providing a God-fearing man named Boaz to be Ruth's husband. And then we're told that Boaz and Ruth had a son named Obed, who had a son named Jesse, who had a son named David. This David was chosen by God not only to be a king of Israel, but also, much more importantly, to be the one from whose line the Messiah, the Savior, would come. And so when we read about the birth of Jesus in the book of Matthew, we are told specifically that Jesus was a descendant of David, son of Jesse, son of Obed, son of Boaz and Ruth. The book of Ruth was written to show us not only how God showed his grace to Ruth, but also how in doing so, he was laying the groundwork to show his grace to all mankind through a descendant of Ruth. God worked through an ordinary Israelite family to bring his word to a seemingly ordinary young Moabite woman so that one day one of her descendants could do the extraordinary work of saving all of us from our sins. Jesus was descended from people of different nations to be the Savior of all nations, as by his blood, Jesus redeemed people from every nation, tribe, people, and language to be his own. And that brings us to a final lesson that we can learn from Ruth to help us be faithful witnesses for the Lord today. Just as the book of Ruth ultimately points us to Christ, so also the most important thing about Christian witnessing today is that it too ultimately needs to point people to Jesus Christ. If the book of Ruth had stopped before telling us about her descendants, we would have missed out on the most important part of the story. And so also, if we speak kind words, words of encouragement, comfort, and so on, if we speak kind words to people that we know, but don't ever get around to mentioning Jesus, then we are leaving out the most important thing, the one thing they most need to hear, the message that God so loves them that he gave his only begotten Son for them, that believing in him, they will not perish, but have eternal life. That is the good news by which we are saved. And that is the good news by which more men, women, and children are being saved each day, as the saving gospel of Jesus Christ continues to go out to all kinds of people in all kinds of places, bringing life to the world as we lift high the cross and proclaim the love of Jesus Christ. All glory, honor, and praise be to Christ Jesus, the Savior of the nations, now and forevermore. May all the world adore his sacred name. Amen. In the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.